So if you remember, we're on our summer series that is reminding us that if we believe that we belong, we will become what He has called us to become, and then we can act or behave the way that represents Him. Did you catch that? If we believe that we belong, we will become what He's called and designed us to become, and then we will act or behave in such a way to represent Him. We will look like the sons and the daughters that we are. All right, so we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. So it wasn't just the word, it wasn't just what we said, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. In power and in the Holy Spirit. So we want to review a little bit this morning. When did these followers of Jesus realize that they had the Holy Spirit and power available to them? So when Jesus was here, He said that when He left, He would send the Holy Spirit. They didn't quite understand all that that meant, but He used the phrase, He gathered them all together and commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for what? Okay, this was after His death and resurrection. Wait for what the Father had promised. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So Jesus made it very clear that what they were waiting for is that thing that they heard mentioned, the thing that they heard promised, and that when the Holy Spirit came, they would receive power. Well, we get to actually see that happening. They came together on the day of Pentecost. Well, there's some interesting things about Pentecost. I don't know if you realize, but it was called Pentecost before Acts 2. They were gathering together to celebrate a festival that acknowledged that what God had promised was now here. At the beginning of the season, so let's say April or May, they had a festival where they waved the stalks, believing that harvest would come. Just like the farmers plant seed, believing for harvest. Pentecost was at the end of the season, and instead of just waving the stalks that were starting to grow, they now waved the grain. What God had promised is now here. Harvest has come. So these disciples were gathered together to celebrate that Pentecost, not realizing that Jesus was signifying that now in the new covenant, the work was fulfilled and the Holy Spirit was that promise to come. So it says they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Did you catch that wasn't a quiet little soft just moving of the Spirit? We sang today already, Spirit move and Spirit fall. And we are believing the Holy Spirit to move mightily, mightily, even violently if need be, among us. A violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. No place or no person was left out. It filled the whole place where they were sitting. And there appeared to them, on each one of them, tongues as of fire distributing themselves, they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now this promise had come. The Holy Spirit was in them, and the power that accompanied the Holy Spirit was there. So what's one of the very first things we see? Well, we see Peter and John going to church. So let's say, I'll pick on Marlon and Marlon Jr. back there then. I was going to pick on Jack, but it's no fun when they're not here to be picked on. So Marlon and Marlon come to church, and they get here early, which they sometimes do, to blow the grass off or to shovel the snow or whatever it is. And there is a homeless guy sitting on the concrete on our porch out there. Yeah, says he was sitting in the gate of the temple as the people arrived for church. And so they go up and they say, you know, now of course Marlon's going to want to make sure they're safe. But in this case, the guy obviously had a physical ailment. And it said he was lame from birth. So he didn't have an accident on the farm. You know, he didn't hurt himself or have a disease that made him progressively get worse. He was born this way. And he was sitting out there, and what he was expecting was money, because he couldn't work, and so money was what enabled him to buy food. So this man's sitting out there on the porch, and he says to Marlon and Sonny, you know, could you give me any money to help? Now, we've actually had that on Sunday morning, haven't we, deacons? Pastor Steve, we have a guy out here. So we have had that during worship practice, during Wednesday night men's Bible studies. People show up. So this guy's out there, and Marlon says, you know, I left all my gold and silver at home today, but I'll give you what I have. The verse is, freely you've received, freely give. So they reached down, and they grabbed the guy's hand, and he was expecting an offering. So he was all excited. He was going to get something from them. And they grabbed his hand, and they said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And he stood up and he was healed. Did Peter or John do that? The power that is in Peter or John? Well, they make it very clear that they did not, because everybody then coming for church, so if that happened out here next Sunday, and then all of you start arriving, and you see this man out there going, yay! I'm healed! I'm healed! Wouldn't that get you? Your fire going? Get you a little excited? And then, of course, Marlon, he'd come up, Frank! Guess what happened already this morning? And so they were all excited like that. And they were looking at Peter and John, and Peter and John say, it wasn't us. Because what had just happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they received power. And so they were healed. Well, it got back to the temple leaders. There are some wild things happening out in front of the temple. There's people excited and there's miracles. We cannot have people excited and miracles at this church. It's just not done. We're not used to it. And I heard somebody mention Jesus. I think it was Sonny. He mentioned that it was Jesus who did it. And we know what we think of Jesus. So they sent and they grabbed Peter and John and they said, you cannot be doing this, talking about Jesus and resurrection, and you can't be doing miracles on Sunday morning, and you can't be getting everybody excited, because we have our routine. And we have our verses we need to say and our rituals, so none of this excitement stuff. And then they make it very clear, chapter 4, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, we're reminded of that again, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man, as to how he was made well, Let it be known to all of you and the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, who you crucified and who God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you. And there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name. So right from the very beginning, their lives changed because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. They had received power, and they were willing to step out and let that power operate. I want that just to sink in a minute. So how long have I been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And are we going out expecting those kind of things to happen? So another story. So the church realized that they needed some deacons. They needed some helpers. The word deacon means a waiter or servant, but it also means minister. And we see there that they raised up and put in place some deacons that definitely had a ministry. One was Stephen. It says about Stephen that he was full of grace and full of power. Grace means God's favor and spiritual enablement. His favor and spiritual enablement. What grace allows you to do, grace allows you to continue through. Grace allows you to not quit. It allows you to stand and not sit down. It allows you to go out and be among and not isolate. It allows you to do what you could not do on your own. How many of you have experienced God's grace, where He has enabled you to do what you thought was impossible for you to do? That's because it was impossible for you on your own to do, but His grace enabled you. And then it says that He was filled with power. That word means mighty, even violent force or ability. Again, that term, mighty, violent force or ability to make possible that which might appear impossible. That's the power the Holy Spirit brings when He's inside of us. Mighty, even violent force or ability to make possible that which might appear impossible. And that word is the same word that we just read that Jesus said, you know, wait, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. Same word. So Stephen was filled with that grace and power. And it said that he did great miracles and wonders among the people. Great miracles and wonders among the people. Deacon Stephen. So deacons are much more than just change the light bulb in the ceiling. He had this ministry. And again, religion did not like what they saw happening. They don't like grace, and they don't like power, because it signifies two things. They are not in control, and they don't want change. Religion doesn't want change, and it wants to be in control. Well, when you have grace and power, you don't have either of those things. So the religious leaders came again, and they arrested Stephen, and they brought him in, and they said, you know, what's going on, and how are you doing this? And they actually brought lies against him. And you could almost see where this story was going to go, how it was going to end. And he looked up, and it says he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Well, the other thing that religion doesn't believe is that you can have a close personal relationship. You can have a relationship, but not a close personal one. And you certainly can't see or encounter God. And so he says, I see Jesus, and he's standing beside God. Well, that upset them on a multitude of levels. They didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God, and they didn't believe you could have a close relationship with God, and you certainly could not see God. The other thing I want to point out to you, we know that normally Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. But he knew something was going to happen soon, and he was standing. So they drag him out and they stone him. One of the reasons I wanted the kids out of the service, so I called Stefan Van and I said, hey, instead of doing the message in the service, would you be willing to do it downstairs today? And Steph said, oh, that would be great, and then we can do a few other things with them. Is because I wanted you to think a minute about stoning. We just read through it, right? And he was stoned. But what you have to picture is we're not talking pebbles, okay? We're talking rocks. I don't know why they don't call it rocking, but they call it stoning. And he's out there, and he's getting pelted with these. So you realize to get pelted enough with rocks that it kills you, you're talking about internal bleeding, and I'm just going to be blunt, they're basically smashing your brains out. You got that? They're killing you by throwing rocks at you till you're dead. So this is happening to him. And the first thing he says, remember Jesus was standing? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew where he was headed. He was ready. He was surrendering his spirit. And then after what I just described to you, this makes this almost unbelievable to me. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. I don't think I would be praying that. I mean, maybe God's grace would show up and I could. But right in the middle of that, religion struggles with believing that you can be forgiving. And it also doesn't feel that others deserve to be forgiven unless it can somehow be earned. Relationship is completely different than religion. Religion struggles with believing that you can be forgiving, and it doesn't feel others deserve to be forgiven unless it can somehow be earned. So I'm rereading a book that I have from C. Peter Wagner, and he was an apostle. He just recently died, and he oversaw a number of apostolic movements where, for example, he oversaw an apostle in Africa who had 100 apostles under him who oversaw 1,000 churches. That's just one example. So his influence was all over the world. He had four doctorate degrees. Okay. So even though I have a fairly large reading vocabulary, I had to look up two of the words that he used. So I'll explain those to you. And I'm just reading, I think it's just a paragraph. But he was a missionary in Brazil for a number of years. And so having said all that, I just want to read this statement that he made about the spirit of religion. One of the most pernicious, I didn't know that. Maybe our English teacher knows that word. I didn't know that word. One of our most wicked or harmful, okay, rulers of darkness that Satan has unleashed is a powerful corporate spirit of religion. Its main assignment, the best I can discern, is to prevent God's people from moving into whatever new times and seasons God desires for his church. The spirit of religion is an inveterate. I didn't know that word either. Habitual or constant. Inveterate. Preserver of the status quo. It devises ways and means to make the old wineskin so appealing that Christian leaders are either oblivious to God's new wineskin or they know about it and actively oppose it. It causes its victims to believe that the old is still the will of God. This spirit does what it can to prevent shifts or changes. So one of the things that I felt like I was supposed to challenge us with today is that when we're believing for God's Spirit to come and move in grace and power, that means that we have to be willing to move forward into all that God is calling us as individuals and as a church. So I want to describe just a little bit the difference in the two kingdoms. God's kingdom is, first, full of grace. It's about relationship. It's about power that brings freedom. It's about passion, which is life-filled activity. You can have activity and you can have events, but passion means they're life-filled activities. It's about peace. Whenever you're in situations where you're moving in peace or releasing peace or sensing God's peace, that's His kingdom. If you're not, it probably isn't. It's about forgiveness. It's about unhindered joy. Jack prayed this morning about in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. That's where I get the word unhindered. And it's about loving others. Satan's activities, on the other hand, are about earning approval and acceptance. Works without a change in behavior. Being in control. Keeping everything constant with no change. Religious rituals and repetition. Holding others and even yourself to a standard of perfection, which causes you to be critical or judgmental. So let's go back to our verse. And we are actually going to finish chapter 1 and move into chapter 2. All right, 1 Thessalonians. It only took us 4 Sundays to get out of chapter 1. Thanks for reminding us. All right, are you there with me? Okay. So we had started with 1:5. That's where we're going to pick up. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became, okay, remember our 4 words? Became an example to all the believers, there's another one, in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. I paused there. I thought, would people say that of us? That the word of the Lord has come from this church? I think they would. Locally, regionally, and in some cases even internationally. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place that your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us and what kind of reception we had with you, how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourself, brethren, know that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness, the power in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. Our exhortation did not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We all have that same message. We've all been entrusted with the gospel. So to speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is our witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. Remember, we mentioned religion versus relationship. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. So I hope you caught in there that they mentioned the power that the Holy Spirit gave them, but also they described their relationships, how they were caring for one another and how they wanted to minister to one another. So Marty shared with me that she was out in the community this week and someone actually came up to her, a complete stranger, and said, "Are you a Christian?" Isn't that interesting? When they examined Peter and John about that miracle of the lame man that they healed, they said the people perceived that they had been with Jesus. Somehow this lady in need perceived that Marty had been with Jesus. I hope that starts happening with all of us, that in our workplaces and when we're out shopping. And so when Marty said yes, she said, "Well, this is what's going on in my life, and would you pray for me?" And you did it right there, right? Am I understanding that? In the post office? In the post office. Right there in public, had a chance to pray. So as we're out there, here's my challenge today. We may not have a lame man or a homeless guy on our church porch, but we might. But while we're out there in our communities, in our workplaces, as we're shopping, are we expecting those two things to be with us? His grace and His power. So that people will say, "Oh, when I encountered somebody from Christian Life Community Church, I could tell they'd been with Jesus because of the way they behaved or how they talked." And then the challenge is when we pray for them, Jack, are we actually expecting their situation to change? Just like Peter and John said, it's not us. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So when somebody says, "You know, I've just had migraines for months, and boy, I was hoping to run into somebody today who prayed for me, who could pray for me." Let's pray expecting them to be gone. Right? Now, if it's a stranger, you wouldn't know if it happened 2 days from there, but you would know if it happened immediately. So I'm expecting us to be coming in sharing some of these kind of reports, because we need to go out expecting that just like Stephen, who was no different than any of us, that we are filled with His grace and His power. Okay? So what I want to do in closing, I had no idea. I mean, I actually saw the list, but I saw the list a couple weeks ago. I didn't know what songs they were doing. So I picked the song to end with that is going to sound very similar to two we already did. But here's what I want us to expect to happen. So this week, as I was studying this lesson, I really didn't expect it to go where it ended up, with so much of it reminding me about the difference between religion and relationship. And then I had remembered that book, so I grabbed that book and read through that. And then I went to Peter Wagner's website, and he actually had a list of characteristics of what it looks like when you're allowing religion to operate through you. I am embarrassed to say, out of the 12, I had like 8 of them. So it's like, alrighty then, I have some work to do. And then when I started to think about some things that we're working through as a church, I'm like, yeah, some of those are there too. So I feel like what we're going to do in closing, so let's all stand up so you all know that I actually am closing. The pastor is actually landing the plane. I want us to come forward at the very least out of your row. Okay? So nobody in their row. So either come out into the aisle or come up front. And what I want us to do is when we sing the song about the Spirit moving mightily among us, I want us to do one of two things. If the little bit of description I gave today, you're able to recognize that sometimes you go more in religion than you do God's kingdom and relationship and grace, that you just say, Lord, forgive me for pursuing what is not you, and I give that to you. Or if you don't recognize that at all, just say, Holy Spirit, come and blow away any religion that's here in this place. So if you can't make it personal today, which I've already prayed about myself for a couple days, so I probably do that again, but just say, in this place, just blow that away. Okay? So join me. Come on up, come on out, and just make this a prayer that the Holy Spirit come and do what He wants to do.